Lord, we do thank you for a beautiful day today. And Lord, you've chosen to give us wonderful weather for a Sunday. We thank you for that. Thank you for each one who's come our way today. And then, Lord, ask you just to bless our time together this morning. Speak to our hearts. You know the topic today, and I pray that you would just give me clarity of thought. I pray the message would speak to our hearts. Help us to be open to the Word of God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3 this morning. Yes, we have moved to a new chapter. I know you find that hard to believe. Colossians chapter 3. Mr. Buchanan, do you have any hours of visitation this week? Well, I'm glad I asked. William? No? Hello, Mr. Rush.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday night, I had a teacher's meeting, and we are going to be having a treasure hunt for our children. Last day of March Madness, and we're using these balls right here and these capsules. And so what I did for teacher's meeting, I had 20 of these hidden around the room. And I, of course, these are all mature adults. And some of them had candy in them, and some had pieces of paper. And I said, all right, when I count, everybody go, you got 2 minutes. And they all took off, and they found them all. There were two guys sitting right here in the second row. One of them found one with candy in it, and one of them found one with a piece of paper in it. Now, the one with the piece of paper had something written on it, but the guy didn't know it. And he saw the other guy who had candy in his, and he wanted the candy. So they traded. The guy with the candy said, or the guy with the piece of paper said, will you trade with me because I want the candy? And so he traded. The other guy who got the piece of paper, who had the candy originally, opened his, and he got a $10 gas card, and the other guy got 4 pieces of candy. And I thought, what a wonderful illustration about how most Christians live their life. You see, living for God takes faith. You cannot receive the rewards in heaven. You cannot see the judgment seat of Christ. You can't see heaven. That is all faith. It's written down, but it takes faith to believe it. The world offers us all kinds of candy, pleasures, enjoyment. Those things are very visible, and often in our Christian lives, you know what we do as believers? We go after the sweet things of life to the neglect of the things that are eternal. And then I began to study for today's lesson, and lo and behold, this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 3. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have studied and prayed, and I've griped to my wife about how difficult the passage is. And my prayer is that I'll be clear with you and you'll understand. Part of the difficulty is we're trying to explain the unexplainable, okay? And that's always difficult. But the point of our lesson this morning is this. We have a position in heaven. It is settled. It is cared for. We'll talk about that. Some amazing things have happened when you got saved. And we need to live with a heavenly mindset. Now let's look at the text. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. The text is actually pretty familiar. And he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now we could change that word to since ye have been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now notice, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I want to see three things this morning, and we'll try to, again, I pray that I'll be clear, I'll pray there'll be understanding. Because if you don't understand your position, then it will not affect your practice. Okay? Now, number one, our past resurrection. You notice verse one, if ye then be risen, or since you are risen with Christ. Now, we're talking about resurrection. When do you need a resurrection? Or what has to occur before you can have resurrection? Death. All right. You got to have death to have resurrection. So the question is, what were we resurrected from? How were we dead? Okay? Now, there's a couple applications here. One is very obvious. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. When you were born physically, what was your spiritual condition? Were you spiritually alive or dead? Dead. Spiritually dead. All right, notice verse 1, chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. Flip back to Colossians. I should have probably gone there first. Look back in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, a verse we've already studied. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. What does the word quickened mean? Make alive. So, here we are. We are dead spiritually. Now, what does that mean? If you are dead spiritually, so what? All right, very good. That means we are totally separated from God. We have no spiritual life. To fellowship with God, to talk with God, to walk with God, to have God speak to you, you must have spiritual life. Okay? Now, when did this first occur? When did this spiritual death first occur? In the Garden of Eden, exactly right in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve had spiritual life. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They had fellowship with Him all the time. And then they chose to sin. And what happened? What did they do after they sinned? They hid. Why? Because the fellowship was broken. In fact, the Lord had said, if you eat of the tree, what's going to happen? You will die. Did they die? Spiritually, you bet. That's how they die. Now, eventually, they died physically. And Pastor preached on that a couple weeks ago. So there's spiritual death, there's separation from God, they hid from God, they're cast out of the garden, there's no more fellowship with God, sin caused the separation. Now, if sin is the problem, then we got to do what to have a solution? We've got to deal with sin, don't we? The sin must be done away with. All right, let me ask you a question. If you are spiritually dead, can you do anything about your sin? What could dead people do? All right. So, here we are. They're spiritually dead. There's no life. They have no way of fixing the relationship. Sin must be removed. Now, here's the gospel. By the way, had a good visit with your brother. I tell you, I'm going to take a little quick rabbit trail here, okay? Julia Garst came to me about a month ago and wanted me to visit Herman Carrick. It was Gene's brother. And, of course, I didn't know who it was when I went there. And so he was working nights, and he was, you know, didn't have a shirt on. It was really cold outside. I was like, who's here, you know? And so I told him I'd come back later. I said, do you know a Gene Carrick? He said, oh, that's my brother. I said, oh, wow. So I go by yesterday, and he's out in his garage working on a 280Z. My dad, when I was a kid, used to buy and sell 280Zs to make money. And so here he's working this thing, so I got to put my hands in there, you know, hold a few things, help a bit, and talk with him. And I guess we just kind of talked about everything under the sun for about a half hour or so, and then I gave him the gospel. And the key to the gospel is you are dead spiritually. I mean, he did not get saved. I did ask him, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? He said, I don't think so. So pray for Herman. I'm going to go back and see him again later on, but he did hear the gospel. But the whole part of the gospel, folks, is that you can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. You cannot. If you're dead spiritually, how can you make yourself better? Now, of course, the great news is, what did God do? Now, by the way, who broke the relationship? Man. Who moved to fix the relationship? God. Isn't that a good thing? Because we can't. So God sent Jesus Christ to die for us to deal with the sin problem. Jesus died. Why? Why did Jesus come? To pay for my sin. That's why he came. Now, when you place your faith in Christ, what do you get? Let's say John 3:16 together. Here we go. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have
everlasting life.
When you place your faith in Christ, you are spiritually dead and you get everlasting life. Now, when we think about everlasting life, we usually think about quantity, don't we? Years. Which is true. But you realize also quality of life? I mean, your life changes dramatically when you get saved. Or it should. You go from being spiritually dead to having spiritual life. So, we get life. We're dead, we get life at salvation. But I don't know that that's specifically what this is talking about. This is a death that took place in the past. Now, Christ died for our sins when? About 2,000 years ago, all right? He died to pay for sin, literal physical death on a literal physical cross. He shed his literal physical blood for our sins. And he rose from the dead, and when he did, he defeated sin and death and the devil. What a great truth. Sin was defeated. The devil was defeated. Death was defeated. All of it was defeated when he rose from the dead. And I want to remind you, now here's where it gets a little difficult, okay? That's the easy part, all right? Okay? Now hopefully you're awake by now. It feels like 9:30, I know that, but it's actually 10:30. You're awake, you're vibrant, you're thinking, all right? Now here's the mystical part. Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead. What is he talking about? Well, look back in Colossians 2:20, just back a few verses. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am what? Crucified with Christ. In Romans 6:3, it says, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, that's not water, by the way, we're baptized into his what? Death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, here's where it gets tough. Because this is mystical, okay? This is invisible. This is not something you see. In fact, it's interesting. Look down at verse 3 of Colossians. For ye are dead, and your life is what? Is hid with Christ in God. It is not visible. All right, here's what happened. When you got saved, by your faith in Christ, you were unified or identified with Christ. So that when Christ died, because you were in Christ, what did you do? You also died. Okay, it was like... okay. We're identified with Christ. We died in Christ. You say, well, Seaman, explain that to me. Boy, I'd love to. I hate teaching on things I can't just say, okay, boom, boom, boom. 3 points, let's pray and go home. Hallelujah. I can't. It is mystical. It is. Does that mean it's not true? Somehow, when we got saved, we unified with Christ, and it's as if when we got saved, Christ took us back 2,000 years and we died with Christ. Now, Christ died to pay for sin. We died. What did we die to? Yeah, those are all good answers. Paul said again, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Ah, so there's a death to sin. Did you realize when you got saved that you died to the penalty of sin? Now, you probably knew that much, right? You're no longer under the penalty of sin. That's a great truth, by the way. We're talking about a lot of great truths. We're just kind of flying by them here. But what a great truth. When I got saved, folks, before I was saved, I was under the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. When I trusted Christ, Christ paid for my sin. Now, there's no penalty for sin. Do you realize that as a believer, you will never stand before God to be judged for your sin? Where was your sin judged? At the cross. Can you be judged twice for your sin? No. By the way, you know what that means? Just go out and sin all you want, right? No. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No. And by the way, there's still wages for sin in this life, aren't there? Well, I saw a young lady this week that used to attend our church and grew up in our church and kicked the traces and has gone off into the world. And I guess she's probably in her 40s. And she looked about 55. I tell you, folks, the world's way is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. My, it's hard. So here we are, folks. We died with Christ to the world. We died with Christ to sin. We died. Sin shall no more have dominion over you. Okay? Before you were saved, you were the servant of sin. After salvation, because you died to sin, the power of sin, it no longer has dominion over you. Okay? There's an identification with Christ. Now, if we are identified with Christ, we've died with Christ, and we're going to talk about being raised with Christ in a minute. Where is Christ now? This is an easy question. Okay? Yeah. I've dulled your senses so much, it's like, I don't know. Right? Okay. By the way, it says that right here in the passage, isn't it? It says, verse 1, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and we're hid in Christ. Now, are you ready? All right, let's be logical. If we're in Christ, and Christ is at the right hand of God, spiritually, where are we? Now, what does that tell you, by the way, about eternal security? Rick, all you sin, buddy, I'm going to cast you out of the right hand of God. You're no longer seated with me. I'm going to cut you off. Can't happen. We are one with Christ. Now, if you're one with Christ and you're seated in heaven with Christ, this is a great truth. What's going to happen when you die? Well, I hope I go to heaven. Well, folks, if you're in Christ, you're going to heaven. Okay? We have been identified with Christ. There's union with Christ. And here's the great thing. Who is holding on to whom? Isn't this a great truth? I mean, I just get to where I want to stop and shout about every one of these things. When my kids were small, and you take them and you're walking with them, and they may be in a dangerous area, there's cars around or something, which is better, to have them hold on to your hand or you to hold on to their hand? Number one, they'll probably let go and run out in the street. That looks like fun. Aren't you glad that as a believer, you are in Christ, you are hid in Him? I can't explain it all, folks, but it's true. And He's going to hold you secure. He can save you to the uttermost. I like that. One man said, from the guttermost to the uttermost, and that's the truth. And it says in 1 Timothy 1:12, He can keep that which committed unto Him against that day. He's seated at the right hand of God, and we're there with Him. Now, when you got saved, folks, you died to the penalty of sin. You died to the dominion of sin. You died to the world. Again, Colossians 2:20. Look at that again. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments or the elements or the things of the world, we're no longer controlled by the world's rules and regulations. We're no longer be living for the world. Galatians 6:14, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." All right? When Jesus talked to his apostles in John chapter 17, how did he describe their relationship in the world? You're in the world, right? Are you in the world? If you're in the world, raise your hand. Some of you I'm not too sure about. That's why I'm checking. All right. But we're not to be of the world. All right? This is of the world. Okay? Now, folks, that is the past thing that has occurred in our life. Now, that's the death. What about the resurrection? Let's cover that. Now, we know there's going to be a resurrection, don't we? Someday all believers will be taken up. The trumpet's going to sound. If you're alive, you'll be caught up in the air. The dead in Christ shall ride first. We'll meet them in the air, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. However, this says, if ye then be risen with Christ. This is past tense. So not only did you die with Christ, but you were also raised with Christ. And when someone gets baptized, what do we say? What does the pastor say? Buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. That's the resurrection that he's talking about, folks. Resurrected, a new life. Sin no more has penalty over you or dominion over you. We're free from the world's influences. And here's a great verse. This, I already kind of referred to this idea, but Ephesians 2:6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, folks, if you're a believer, if you've trusted Christ, that's your position today. Bobby, are you a believer? Are you saved? You know where you are right now spiritually? You're seated in heaven with Christ right now. Again, you say, "Gary, could you explain that?" No, I can't. By faith, I believe it because that's what the Bible says. Now, not only are we seated in heaven, folks, but we are also citizens of heaven. Now, Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven." Now, most of you are citizens of the United States of America. Okay? Some of you may not be, I don't know. That means this is where you live, this is where you call home, whatever. Most of us got that citizenship how? By birth. You were born in the United States, therefore you're a citizen of the United States. All right. As a citizen of the United States, you have some obligations. What are they? What's that? Obey the laws. Pay taxes. There you go. You're excited about that. April 15th is coming soon, isn't it? If you leave America and go to a different country, you should be a good representative of the United States. I get so tired of these freaks that leave America and they go out. And, number one, I get tired of the freaks in America who hate America. And then I get tired of the ones who leave America and act like jerks and make all Americans look bad. Okay? Now, the Bible says that if you're a believer, if you've been born again, you are a citizen. Your citizenship, yeah, physically you're a citizen of the United States. Spiritually, you're a citizen of heaven. Now, folks, that is your position right now. You're seated in heaven with Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. That is your home spiritually. That is your position today. Okay? That's going on today. Now, all right, that's the hard part. You got me? You with me still? Does anybody have a clue what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. Here it is. We were raised with Christ. We died. We've been raised. We are seated in heaven. That's our position. We're citizens of heaven. All right. Your question should be, so what? All right. Here's the so what. Our present responsibility. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ? Are you a believer? All right. Here it is. Seek those things which are above. Now, here's what he's saying. Your position is, you're seated in heaven, you're a citizen of heaven. All right. How about your practice? Should your practice match your position? That's what the Christian life is about, folks. Because when you get saved, you're seated in heaven, but boy, our practice isn't too great. And so we're working to improve our practice to make it like our position. By the way, what's that term for that? That's called sanctification. He said, now look, what you need to do is you need to seek the things which are above. Seek the things which are above. Well, what's above? Well, heaven. Does that mean you need to go out and kill yourself so you can go to heaven today? No. What are the things of heaven? What are the things that are above? What are the things we're supposed to be seeking? Help me here. All right? Our walk with the Lord. And by the way, if you seek the things in heaven, who's in heaven? Well, Christ is in heaven. Seek the things of heaven. The things that heaven says are important. Glorifying God is part of that. Seek things that are eternal. Now let's just be real honest, okay? Let me ask you a question. How much this week did you seek eternal things? Now, I mean, obviously, if you're going to live and eat and feed yourself and place, you do have to have some of the world's things, okay? But the key is you have the world's things so you can seek heavenly things. My struggle is often, even in the ministry, I find myself seeking these things have priority. These things become number one. And this is kind of in the background. Seek those things which are above. Let me ask you, can you point to times this week that you sought things that were above? That you sought eternal things? He said, look, your position, folks, you're in heaven. You're in heaven. And by the way, the Lord tells us this, doesn't he? In Matthew 6:33. He doesn't say, but seek ye the eternal things. But seek the kingdom of God. What does he say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Most of us say, once I get all that stuff, then I'll take care of that stuff. And that's totally backwards. He said, no, seek heavenly things first. And then I'll take care of that stuff. Well, it's amazing how God can do that. If we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, let me illustrate it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And we spend our whole life seeking all these things, and what do we get when we're done? When that guy got that candy and ate it, what did he have left? Probably a stomachache. That was it. It was gone. It was gone. The song says, with eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, let me do each day's work for Jesus with eternity's values in view. And by the way, this is a present tense verb, which means you do it and you keep doing it and you keep doing it. All right? Now, he goes on. Not only do we need to seek those things which are above, but in verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above. Now, this word affection is an interesting word. It's usually translated think or mind. Here it is, folks. You say, boy, Gary, I wish in my life that I could be seeking those eternal things. Well, there's a way to do it. You do it right here. You set your mind. You point your thinking toward eternal things. How do you do that? Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, or that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you a question. If I watch television 5 hours a day, will I have a mind that is set on eternal things? Your mind will be in the gutter is where it will be. If I listen to the world's music all the time or any time, will I have a mind that's set on eternal things? If I spend all my time with unsaved people and talk about the world and all the things of the world, will I have a mind that's set on eternal things? How do you do it? How do you set your mind? How do you conform your mind? Now we've come all the way back to it again. Here it is. I think it was last year's verse. It's gone. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How are you going to? Here it is. You say, oh, I want to seek heavenly things. Well, you got to set your mind on heavenly things. How do you do that? You fill your mind with heavenly things. Where are they found? Right here in the word of God. And we set our mind on heavenly things, and that causes us to seek heavenly things. Now, one further point, and we're done. Now, verse 4. Here's our future revelation. All right? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, remember, we started out and we said these things we're talking about, this death, our position in Christ, it is what? It is hidden. Verse 3. But there's going to come a day when it appears. By the way, it is hidden. Does the world understand your position? When they say, I'm not going to do this because I'm a Christian, do they understand? They think you're a nutcase. In some cases, they may be right. I'm not sure. They think you're crazy. They don't understand it. Why? Your position in heaven is hidden from them. There's going to come a day when that position is revealed. We're going to become like Christ. It says, beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and will no longer walk by faith, and will walk by sight. And the songwriter said, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Now, conclusion. Number one, are you a child of God? Have you been born again? If you haven't, you're still under the penalty of sin. You're still under the dominion of sin. You're on your way to hell. But Jesus Christ came and died for you to give you spiritual life. And if you'll turn from sin and turn to Christ, he will save your soul. He'll save your soul. If you are a child of God, if you've trusted Christ, you're seated in heaven today. Can't understand it, can't explain it, but it's true. We are citizens of another world. Now, my application, my recommendation, my encouragement, all right, let's live like it. Let's live like it. You have a choice this week. Will I seek things that are above or below? Which will it be? He said, look, since you're risen with Christ, you need to seek eternal things. And you do that by setting your mind on heavenly things. And you do that by getting in the Word of God and letting God change your mind so you have an eternal mindset. So, as a matter of fact, is life is going to end at some point. Don't know when, but it's going to end. And when it ends, all this stuff won't matter a bit. Won't matter a bit. Boy, this stuff will matter for all eternity. Matter for all eternity. And so I exhort you this morning, folks, seek eternal things. Do something for God. Get in His Word. Get an eternal mindset and get busy. Get busy. Consume your mind with the things that are eternal, the things of heaven. That's the message of Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can study your word. And Lord, I feel like I've stumbled through this lesson. And Lord, it's been difficult to be clear about these great truths. But I pray that you would take them, take my feeble efforts. And Lord, that you would take your word and just drive these thoughts home. There are people here today who are your children. They're Christians. And Lord, their life is consumed with things of the world. The shiny things, the sweet tasting things. And they're wasting their life on things that don't matter. And Lord, they're not living like citizens of heaven. And I pray you'd convict their hearts and help them, Lord, to realize their wrong and to change. And Lord, I pray for all of us as believers that you would help us to gain this eternal mindset, that we might seek those things which are above, things that are eternal, the things that are important, things that last. Help us, I pray. Drive these thoughts home to our hearts. Help us to be doers and not just hearers, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.